You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
This is our last part of our series. It's not that complicated. We're looking at different love stories in the Bible. Okay? Depending on our choices and certain things that happen in our lives, things can easily get complicated in our relationships. But if we allow God to write the script, if we allow God to work on our love lives, we can see Him write a beautiful love story in all of our lives. And so the first week we talked about Isaac and Rebekah. It started out as complicated, okay? Instructions by Abraham to find a wife for his son, okay? Pero when God took hold of that situation and they submitted to God's will, it became a beautiful love story. Last week, we talked about Samson and Delilah. It started out with great, great promise. God had great plans for Samson, and we see him moving in him in his spirit. But because of choices that he's made, things got destructive and complicated in his part. Today, it's another beautiful love story, okay, that we're going to look at. It's a story of Boaz and Ruth, okay? And we can see how things start complicated, okay? But somehow, because of God orchestrating everything in their lives, it became a beautiful love story that has great implications for you and for me today. So I'm not going to delay it any further. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And in reverence to the reading of God's word, I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me. Ruth and Boaz. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. If you didn't bring your Bible, my encouragement always is to have your own Bible so you read this story. If you were able to read ahead or read after the service today, you can see the beautiful love story that God unfolded in their lives. But we're going to start in verse 1 to 5, okay? You can read along with us on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem and Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will open up our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we see ourselves in this story, not as those that have suffered, but those that will see how you can work things out in our life, in our love lives, in our relationships, and even our relationship with you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to us today. I pray, Lord, that you anoint the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead and have your seat. Doon sa text na binasa natin, parang hindi love story, di ba? Napakalungkot. Two sons and a husband, they go travel and then they all die. But before we get started with the story, I wanted to play a game. Is it okay if we play a game a little bit before we get started? Okay, I'm going to show a quote from a love story, okay, and I show a picture of a scene in the movie. And then all together, after I show it and see it, let's see if you can name what movie that's from, okay? You guys ready? We'll all do it at the same time. So you'll see it. Don't blurt it out right away. I'll count to three, and then we can answer. Okay? You guys ready? The first one. Don't forget, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. Okay? Familiar with this? Okay, one, two, three. Notting Hill. Okay? Yung mga kabataan, parang hindi na nila alam. Just go to the video store downstairs. Watch it. It's okay. All right. Next movie here. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Okay. One, two, three. Love story. Okay, meron mga matatanda dito, kapareho ko na alam yung storya. Okay, so again, you can go downstairs. Maybe you'll find a movie like this. Maybe you can ask your grandparents who these guys were. Okay, those are the modern day Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Okay, so I'm just realizing when I'm preparing this and showing this to you how old I am. Okay, next movie. You Complete Me. You had me at hello. Okay, one, two, three. See, another proof of my age. Here's my favorite movie, best love story ever created. Okay? Love story had action also, and this is the movie. Adrian! Another proof of my age. Okay? But that was a wonderful scene. A wonderful scene. Okay, anyway. Antanda mo na nga. Okay, anyway, it's fine. But these are classics, one-liners that we hope, okay, we dream about, that in our own love life, in our own relationships, that somehow someone would say that about us, Lee, or whatever. Okay, or someone would say that. But the reality is, in our own love lives, it's not as dramatic as those things. We're in a disadvantage because in our own life, wala tayong script writers. Okay? Wala tayong extra take. Wala tayong, you know, touching up on the makeup. Alright? And there's no background music. Sana meron tayong background music at that point. But it's okay. Okay? Walang background music to help us in those situations. But you know what? We do have someone who can write a beautiful love story in our lives. And that's God Himself. And we can see in the story of Boaz and Ruth, we're going to look at the characters here in the story and how even though parang hindi ideal yung situation nila, God was writing a script for them. And the love story that He ends up writing not only affected their relationship, but even for us today. The implications of this love story, ganun ka-importante yung love story ni Boaz and Ruth. Na hanggang ngayon, 3,000 years later, okay, it still has an impact in our lives. And so we're going to look at the characters here in the story. Okay, alam ko corny yung jokes ko kanina, but we're going to look at the characters of this story and we're going to learn from it. We're going to see the different situations that they were in and how, in spite of their situations, God orchestrated this beautiful love story. Are you guys ready? Okay, unang character na gusto nating tingnan. Actually, I'll give you a background of the story. Before we go there, this time the book of Ruth was written around the time of the book of Judges. Okay, the book of Judges was after Joshua had conquered the promised land. Okay, and then there were judges that ruled the land, Samson being one of them. We talked about him last week. But this was a period of about 100 to 120 years before the coming of Saul, who was the first king of Israel. So ito yung framework niyan. Okay, some scholars would say that this book of the thing with Boaz and Ruth happened around the same time when Gideon was the judge of Israel. Okay, so this is the time frame. But also, we know that after Joshua had died, it was also one of the darkest parts of Israel's history because they were in rebellion. Everyone was serving God during Joshua's time, but after Joshua, there was a generation that did not serve God or even know about God. So people were doing everything based on what was right in their eyes. Ganun yung situation ngayon. And so God was sending judges to help bring them back into the relationship with God. But there were times that people were just going away and going further and further away from God. And so this is the situation that we find. And when we come into this story, we know that there is a famine that's happening in the land. And a family that moved from Bethlehem to go over to Moab. Okay? And one of this family is Naomi. Okay? Pasok na tayo kay Naomi. Naomi was married to Elimelech. And it's significant. During this time, yung mga pangalan nila, there's significance with their names. Naomi means pleasant, sweetheart, or sweetie. Yun yung parang, when you say Naomi, yun yung ibig sabihin nun. And so here was Naomi married to Elimelech. Elimelech's name is My God is King. Okay, yun yung ibig sabihin ng Elimelech. There's a significance in this and we'll see it later on as we talk about this more. But it was oddly enough, yung pangalan nila nung sa mga anak nila was Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon and Chilion, it sounds nice, di ba? Parang Mahlon. Parang anak ko si Mahlon. Tsaka anak ko si Chilion. Okay? But the meaning of these two names is actually sickly, okay, and wasting or dying. Odd name to call your sons. Di ba? Parang pangalan. Here's my firstborn, si Cancer. And here's my secondborn, fourth stage cancer. Okay, it's odd to name someone that way. But for some reason, I don't know why, I don't know what their circumstances were, that's what they named their sons. And right now, there was a famine in the land, and so they decide to move from Bethlehem. Ironically, Bethlehem's meaning is house of bread. So in the house of bread, there was a famine. And so they decided to look somewhere else. Since nahihirapan sila dito, they want to take care of their family, feed them, and so they won't die. They decided that they're going to move to Moab, which is about between 50 to 100 miles away from where Bethlehem was. Okay? So isn't that odd? Place of bread, kailangan silang umalis doon to go to save his family, they go to another place. And oddly enough, as we saw in the story, exactly what they didn't want to happen, happened in their lives. Elimelech died, their two sons died, and we find Naomi left with her two daughters-in-law. Yun ang nangyari sa buhay niya. Isn't that sad? Parang, paano to naging love story? Okay? And just a side comment, okay? Many times when people move into different places or they move their whole family, please just don't consider the economic situation. Please consider if it's something that God wants you to do. I know our nation, we have people who are really our heroes who are working abroad and sending us money and taking care of us that way. But if that's God's will for you, then go ahead and do that. But if you're just going to bring a family because somehow the grass is greener in a different place, if it's not God's will, please don't go. Okay, bayan? Because if you're going away, and that's what happens to them. They go away without any direction from God. It was their own will. And exactly what they wanted to avoid happened to them. Elimelech died and his two sons. And so while they were there, that's the situation that they were in. And so the two sons had married Moabite women. Women that they were not supposed to marry. Women that they were not supposed to have relationships with, yun yung naging mga asawa nila. And so, after they died, Naomi decides, I'm going to go back home. There's no opportunities for me here. Things became bad for me here, so I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. Okay? And so, their two daughter-in-laws decided, we're going to go with you. And so, sabi niya, no, go back to your families. Please, just go back to your families. I have nothing to offer you. I'm a widow, and during that time, if you become a widow, there's really no hope. Okay? They're just actually just waiting for you to die. And so, sabi niya, no, go back to your families. Let them take care of you. And so, Orpah, okay, decided to go back. But for Ruth, she made the decision that she was going to stick with Naomi no matter what. And so now, after more than 15 years being away from home, we find Naomi coming back home. And so we catch up to the story right now. So the two of them, meaning Sinion, si Naomi and Ruth, the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Okay? She's back. Naomi's back. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" There's something that happened to her that they could not recognize her. Si Naomi ba yan? Si Naomi ba yung bumabalik? She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which means pleasant or sweetie. "Call me Mara." Ano yung ibig sabihin ng Mara? "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Mara means bitter. Sabi niya, "God has been so bitter for me. This is something that changed in her situation." I'm sorry if your name Mara here, okay? I mean, Meron ba mga Mara dito? Wala naman. Okay. But if you're named that, I mean, I'll call you Naomi. But that was her situation. She had become bitter from everything that happened, and somehow she knew it was God that dealt that hand to her. That she was now blaming God. She had become so far away from God. She was there in community, in the community of God's people. And because of circumstances, economic circumstances, they decide as a family to go away. So they turned their back on God. Even though her husband's name is God is my king, they turned away from that king. Sabi niya, we're gonna find our own way. And so here's Naomi, who's now far away from God, feeling bitter and upset that she's in this situation. It was her choice. And feeling that she's far away from God. And somehow feeling that she's unworthy to go back. But the only thing that she had opportunity, sabi niya, I'm just going to go back. I'm bitter, I'm upset, all these things have happened to me, but somehow I'm going to try. I'm going to try and go back to God. And that's what she did. She went back into the city. She went back and returned. Okay? And so here's the situation. She's become a bitter old woman. Now, when we look at characters in the Bible, sometimes what I try to do is try to put myself in the situation. Not that I want to be Naomi or bitter. But minsan makikita mo kung ano yung situation niya. Minsan dinadaanan din natin sa buhay natin. Now, maybe you're here and you've had a strong relationship with God. The same way with Elimelech and Naomi. And somehow, because of circumstances, because of choices we've made, we've gone away. We've turned away from Him. And somehow that relationship with God is now far, and we feel unworthy to go back. We feel unworthy that God would show favor to us. And ang hirap-hirap na ng buhay natin. Nahihirapan ka ngayon because you've gone away from God and so you feel so bad. How can I ever go back to Him? And that's where Mara was. Or Naomi. Bitter and upset. And so some of you here, you've been coming here in church, parang it's just a routine now, pero you feel na, I'm not getting a connection from God. I come here, I go Sunday, I lift up my hands, I put it down, I give my offering. You do all those things. And somehow there's not that connection, there's not that encounter because you feel you're unworthy. You feel that God has judged you and somehow, parang, I'm so upset with God. I hope that's not the case. But if that's you here, you can see God will unfold something in Naomi's life. And God can do the same thing in your life. We'll move on to the next character. Okay, the next character here is Ruth. Okay, Ruth is a Moabite woman, a widow of Mahlon. Yun yung naging asawa niya, si Mahlon. Okay, si Sikli, okay, yun yung naging asawa niya. Okay? And she is a Moabite. She's far away from God. She's never had a relationship with God. And again, some of us are that way. You've come here, somebody invited you, you've never been religious, you've never had a relationship with God, and you're far away. And in this situation, we see something change in her heart that she made a decision that I am going to stick with Naomi. I am going to stick to her God. Okay, we read that in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Pinapaalis na siya ni Naomi. But sabi niya, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. I'm going to stick with you, Naomi. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God shall be my what? God. She's making a decision. She's far away from God. The Moabites would serve Chemosh. That's a false god that they were serving in that area. But sabi niya, no, I'm not going to go back to my gods. I am going to follow your God, Naomi. I don't know what happened to you and whatever circumstances, but something about her wanted to follow this new God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death departs me from you. We hear this in weddings. Till death do us part. Ang ganda pakinggan. Ang ganda pakinggan, but that's her situation. She wanted to go back. Oh, not to go back, but to find this relationship with God. She is far away, but wanted to get near. When we understand here, when we look at her story and why she didn't go back to her family, nakakapagtaka. Why didn't she go back to her family? Maybe she didn't have a family to go back to. Where was her dad that should take care of her? Kung namatay yung asawa niya, okay? As a dad, we have dads here. If something happens to my daughter's husband or something, not that I want that to happen, I'm going to take her back. If I'm in a position to take her back and take care of her, I'll do that. Same thing with any of my sons. If something happens to them, I'm there. I'm there to help them if I'm in a position to do that. But she does not have that. Napakalungkot, di ba? Wala siyang pamilyang pwedeng balikan. Ni walang parang, okay, bye. Bye, Ruth. Have a good time in Bethlehem. Wala, nothing like that. And so now, we see her in a situation desperate, but somehow wanting to hold on. When Boaz showed favor to her, okay, in the story of this, when Boaz was showing love and showing caring for her, she felt that she couldn't accept it. Sabi niya, why are you showing favor to me? Nung binibigyan siya ng pagkain, why have I found favor in your eyes? She felt unworthy to be near God's people. She felt unworthy to be near God. She's been so far away, she doesn't know, have any relationship with this new God. But sabi niya, I'm not worthy. I've been so far away, I've been serving other gods, but somehow I want to hold on to this new God. Pero hindi ko siya kilala. Maybe some of you here are new Christians. And you want that relationship, but somehow you feel that you have to earn His favor. That somehow that you need to do something for God to accept you. And ganun yung nararamdaman ni Ruth. Sabi niya, why did I find favor in your life? Okay? And see, we see that the faith that she had, she wanted to hold on. And we also see that God was orchestrating something in her life. For some of you here, you're just coming into a relationship with God, and right away you are facing problems. Parang bakit pa, kala ko pag-Kristiyano wala nang problema. Hindi. You'll be storm-proof, but it won't be storm-free. Okay? We will experience trouble. That's what God said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. And so we hold on to Him. And so if you're new here, if you're a new Christian, just continue to hold on to Him the way Ruth did. And you can see God orchestrate something beautiful in your life. The third character that we want to look at here is Boaz. Okay? Boaz was rich, successful businessman, godly man. Okay, we see it in the story. He's a godly man that his workers loved him. But he remained single. Okay? The Bible scholars would say maybe he's in his 40s or 50s at this point of the story. Bakit kaya siya single? Minsan pag nagtataka tayo, pag dumadating na yung lalo na yung lalaki, no? Pag mga sa 40s or 50s, single pa rin. Okay, maybe you're 40s or 50s and you're single here. Parang, ano kayang depresya niya? Ano kayang kulang sa kanya? Baka iba ang gusto. Okay? That's normally what people accuse them. What's wrong with him? But we can see in the background of his life, there was something that was preventing him from marrying. He was successful. He had money. He had a job. He loved God. And women, single women, if you have those three things, yeah, go ahead. Ano kaya ang depression ni Boaz? Did he have a looks problem? Okay, baka meron siyang depresya. Baka hindi siya gwapo. Okay? I mean, minsan, yun ang choice ng tao eh. But we can see there's something different about him and we can see it from his lineage. Okay? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 2 to 6. Are you still with me? All right. Okay, I just want to make sure that you're still there because we're going to see a beautiful love story as we look at these characters. Abraham, the father of Isaac, and Isaac, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, thank you, by Tamar, and Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram. Sino dito yung when you're reading this genealogies, this is the part where you start falling asleep. Ako lang yon. Okay? But we'll continue. Okay? And Ram, the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz. Okay? Who's the dad of Salmon, of Boaz? Salmon. By Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. Wow. Okay? So, sino si Boaz? He's the great-grandfather of King David. Tama? Is that significant for us? Yeah, that's significant for us. It's significant for the nation of Israel. But who was his mom? Basahin nyo. Sino yung mami ni Boaz? Rahab. Any of you remember who Rahab was? Who was Rahab? What? Bakit yung binubulang prostitute? He was a son of a prostitute. Pastor, anak siya ng prostitute. Yeah, it says so in the word. Can you imagine Boaz's life growing up? Kung paano siya tinukso ng mga classmates niya? Kung paano siya niloko at niloko? Sure, he was successful. Sure, he had money. Sure, he was a godly man. But every time there was someone that would have a crush on him, okay? At sabi niya, Dad, cute ni Boaz, no? Mayaman pa. He's a son of a prostitute. Go find a nice Jewish boy. Don't go to that family. Alam mo yung mga pamilya niya? Can you imagine him growing up and hearing that all the time? And so he decided at some point, I don't know what, at one point, he said, I'm not going to have a relationship. I'm not worthy to have a relationship. He got to that point. That's why, at least for me, no? I mean, it doesn't say it directly, but for me, that's enough reason for someone not to even consider Boaz. Okay, he had everything. He could provide. And he was a good boss. Tingnan niyo to. I mean, he was an amazing boss. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, you know, there was a harvest in the city. Okay? So he was coming to his farm, coming down from his expedition. Okay? Ganun ako bumagbasa ng Bible. Okay? Nilalagyan ko ng kwento. Okay? And Boaz came from Bethlehem, getting out of his expedition. And he said to his reapers, The Lord be with you. Mababa siya sa kotse. The Lord be with you. He's going to his office. The Lord be with you. Who would like to have a boss like that? Ganun may boss nyo? Hindi. Kung katabi niyo yung boss niya, wag niyo lang ano yan. Okay? Here's a godly man. Here's a godly man that he would come and he would bless his workers. These workers were tired, they're sweaty, they're ano. Dinala niya ng pagkain. If you read the story, that's what he did. He brought them food. Okay? And that's the type of boss he was. And they loved him. You know how I know that the employees loved him? Ano yung sagat sa kanya? The Lord bless you. As employees, do we say that to our boss? Or we say, anak ka ni Rahab? Unfortunately, sometimes yun yung iniisip natin sa mga boss natin. But God places us in leadership and puts people on top of us and below us. Is there a good relationship? And obviously, Boaz was loved by his people for them to bless him back. And for him to bless them. And so now he was showing kindness to this foreigner. He was showing kindness to this Moabite woman. Why would he do that? Because he was an outsider as well. He was an outsider and treated as an outsider, being half a Jew and half a Jericho. From Jericho. Jerichoan. Okay, inimbendo ko lang yan. So here's, okay, nakita natin si Naomi near God and went far away. Here's Ruth, who's always been far away from God but wants to get near. And here's Boaz, who was near to God but felt unworthy for love because of the way he's been treated. And the moment when, there was a moment when Boaz was in the threshing floor and Ruth had prepared herself, put perfume, put her nice dress, and slept at her feet, at his feet. Okay? Iniisip niyo, ay, naku, meron na silang ginawa. Hindi. It was all clean. It was all rated G. Okay? Walang R18 dito sa nangyari dito. What she was doing when she came there was to say, can you cover me under your wing? Can you redeem us from our situation? Because he was a redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. Someone that had an opportunity to buy the property of Elimelech and in the same process, take all the property so that the property will continue to be in the line of their family. And so that was the situation. And when she made that choice, ang sabi niya, you know what? You've blessed me. You've blessed me by choosing me instead of running after someone who's much younger. He never thought that he was worthy of the love of Ruth. When he was being kind to her, he wasn't thinking, okay, I'm going to be kind to you. You better, come on, bring back the favor. No, he wasn't thinking that. Alam mo kung bakit natin alam yon? Because after their first encounter, they were working for 6 weeks during the harvest time. The harvest would be for about around 6 weeks and never was there any other conversation again. Hindi na niya nilapitan ulit si Ruth. But he took care of her. Sabi niya, stay with my young woman. You'll be safe there. I told the guys in my company not to touch you. No sexual harassments in this company. Okay? They'll take care of you. You can drink, you can eat, do whatever you need to do. Because I've seen how you were kind to Naomi. I've seen your love for her, and I want to bless you in that. But he wasn't thinking, okay, I'm going to do this later on. I'm going to propose. Alam, you know why? Bakit biglang pumasok dun si Ruth? Okay? Kasi, ano ba to? He's been feeding me, taking me out to dinner. Okay? He's being nice to me. Ano bang intention na tong maman to? Okay? And Naomi and Ruth were thinking, what's going to happen now? He's not called back. What are we going to do? Ay, magbihis ka. Mapabungo ka. Lumapit ka sa kanya. And that's what she did. Now, okay. Single women, this is not license for you. So start chasing after the men in your life. I know it's hard. I know it's tempting. Na, ano ba ang plano nitong lalaking to sa akin? Ang tagal-tagal na, wala pa rin ginagawa. He's being nice to me. He's calling me. He's doing all these things. And guys, if you're doing that to someone, please state your intentions. But the problem with Boaz, he never thought this could happen in his life. So he never made an effort. But once, sabi niya, okay, you're interested? Wow. Okay, I'll work on it. I'll work on it. And he finds out, he knew. He finds out that there was someone who was much closer in relation to Naomi. And sabi niya, go ahead, if you want to buy it, go ahead, go buy the land and redeem it for yourself. But if you redeem that land, kasama si Ruth. Sabi nung lalaki, mahubayt yan, di ba? Ayaw ko yan. Magugulo yung sarili kong inheritance. I can't do that. So if you want to buy the inheritance yourself and redeem that whole family, go do it, Boaz. And so they had that whole sandal thing. Na yun yung parang kontrata. When you take off your sandal, okay, this is our agreement. We have an agreement. You go home with no shoe. Okay, so Boaz was coming home without a shoe. But sabi niya, yes! Finally, love orchestrated by God in his life. Can you imagine? Ako lang being kinikilig dito? Look at this. Who are you in this story? Are you like Naomi? Close to God, far from God, trying to get back, but feeling unworthy. Are you like Ruth? Far from God and wanting to get near. Are you like Boaz? You're near to God, but you feel unworthy of love. Kahit nasaan ka dyan, they all did the same thing. They held on to God somehow. And you can see how God was orchestrating these different stories in their life. And God is a beautiful, wonderful script writer. And he can write a beautiful love story for you as you continue to hold on to him. Ruth just so happens to be gleaning in Boaz's field. He just happens to notice her and is kind to her because she's a foreigner, an outsider like him. It just so happens that, you know, they ended up that he was a relative that can redeem them. It just so happens that the one who's nearer in relation to him could not redeem him, and so Boaz was able to marry Ruth. What a wonderful, beautiful story that God was able to do. All of this, is it a coincidence? No, it's not. God was providentially working out the love story of Boaz and Ruth. Something that was complicated, it's not complicated with God. It's never complicated with God. It may be impossible, you may be in an impossible situation, but nothing is impossible with God. And so we see here now in the end, in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. Pamilya pala namin. And she bore a son. Okay, we're related. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life, and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. You see the beautiful thing here? Naomi, who was bitter, but now she was being blessed once again. Ruth, who was an outsider, was brought near into a relationship with God. Boaz, who was unworthy for love, at least he thought, now he had love in his life. All of this because he was a redeemer. What a beautiful love story. I recommend, please read it. Read it yourself and you see all the different details of God orchestrating all these wonderful things in their life, being a redeemer. Okay? But you know what? None of them knew. None of them knew. Not Naomi, not Boaz, not Ruth knew that their love story would be significant in the nation of Israel. And not just significant for them, but significant for us. Because generations and generations later, this is the line that gave birth to Jesus, who is our Kinsman Redeemer. He is the one that in our own situation, we feel unworthy. Kung you're like Naomi or Ruth or Boaz, all of them felt unworthy of the love of God, of the grace of God, of the favor of God. Lahat sila. And many of us, sometimes we're here and we feel, I'm so unworthy. I'm so unworthy. You know, sometimes I come up here and I'm talking to you and I'm sharing God's word. That doesn't get out of my mind. Lee, who are you? You're sinful. Lee, you're just, you know, you did this once again. Who are you to share? And I hear these voices. But I just go back. It's not about me. God tells me it's not about you. Yeah, you're not worthy. But I am worthy. And I have redeemed you. And so when you go up there, it's not about you. It's not about what you're sharing. It's about who I am in your life. It's about my word that you're sharing. Because ultimately, who is Jesus? Jesus is our Redeemer. In that line of that whole family, that's what it means for us. No matter who you are in this story, you may feel unworthy, God will make you worthy because He is worthy. I just want to call on the music team. Music team, help me in this. All right. So titingnan natin yung storya natin. You're here. You feel hopeless. You feel hopeless, far away from God. Maybe you are far from Him. Maybe you don't have the perfect ancestry. Something has happened in your line na parang nakakahiyang nangyari sa buhay mo. You may be going through a difficult time right now, or you've been through a difficult time. All these different situations, you've been abused, you've been made fun of, you feel so unworthy. Just like the three of them, they went back to Jesus. They went back to their God. They went back to a new God. They believed, Boaz believed, that God was orchestrating something in his life. And it just reminds me that in this story, yeah, certainly, there will be times when we will feel unworthy. And there's a story in Revelation chapter 5. John, who is a self-proclaimed favorite of Jesus, he was lifted up into heaven. And while he was in heaven, there was a scroll. There was a scroll that no one could open. And no one could open it and explain what's inside it because no one was worthy to open up that scroll. And so we find John in chapter 5, Revelation. We find John just weeping. Umiiyak siya, sabi niya, no one is worthy to open this scroll. Nalulungkot siya. Alam ko, favorite ako ni Jesus, pero bakit walang, no one's worthy? Why? And he was crying until an angel touched him. An angel touched him. No, there is someone who's worthy. There is someone who's worthy, and his name is Jesus. And in verse 9, it says there, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus being worthy. And who did he redeem? From every tribe, nation, tongue? That's us. Jesus redeemed all of us. And I don't know if you were encouraged with Ruth and Boaz's love story, but I'm encouraged by this love story between God and us. Between Jesus extending His grace, extending His favor, extending His love for you and for me. And I want us to sing this song because there is someone who is worthy to redeem you and me and can write a beautiful love story no matter what your background is, no matter where you are in position of your in relation to God, no matter what you've done. God makes us worthy. So let's all stand up and sing this to our great God. Three characters that we looked at, we feel unworthy. That's okay. Because God, Jesus, is worthy. And He has redeemed us. He took the punishment that we deserve, lived a sinless life, so that He can take all of our sins on the cross, so that we can have forgiveness, and that He can pour out His righteousness, His holiness into our lives. We are not worthy, that's true. But we have a God who is worthy and makes us righteous, makes us holy, and pours out His great love for you and for me. Let's just lift up our hands as we pray to Him. Heavenly Father, You know our situations. You know our different issues. You know the different things that we need in our lives. But I pray, Lord, that we will always hold on to You. And with You, Lord, we will be able to experience Your great, great love for all of us. That we will receive Your mercy. That we will receive Your favor. We will receive Your grace. And because of Your great love for us, we have everything. And we thank You, Lord, no matter what we're going through, that You are writing a beautiful love story. And the most beautiful love story of all is our relationship with You. So we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are always there for us to redeem us, to love us, to give us hope and a future. We pray this for all my brothers and sisters. Lord, let them experience You in a greater way. Those who have gone far away, I pray, Lord, that today they are turning back to You, so that they will continue to serve You and see You move in their lives. Certain people here are coming into a relationship with You today. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for them that are holding on and will hold on with faith that You will do something in their lives. And just some of us, Lord, just like Boaz, we feel unworthy of love, unworthy of Your favor. But Lord, You showed Your favor to him, as You will show Your favor to all of us. Lord, we're grateful. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.